Joni, wie bist du darauf gekommen, einen Film über Queercore zu drehen? Also wie hat dieses Thema dich erreicht?
Yeah, I came to the idea because I wanted to do a film about some radical queer movement. I went on a tour in the United States with this performance group of 12 queer performers, and we were showing and performing in these small towns across America. And in each small town, these kind of queer punks would come to the show. And I was like, oh, yeah, queercore. I knew the movement from when I was a teenager, and I made my own zine. And I thought this would be the perfect kind of movement to make a film about. So I took my camera, and I started doing interviews, and that's how the film developed.
Queercore begann ja, und so erzählt es auch dein Film, Anfang der 80er Jahre, als der Punk und Hardcore eigentlich noch recht homophob auch war, obwohl man ja im Punk und Hardcore sich in einer Szene bewegte, die sich eigentlich abgrenzte zum Mainstream, zur Normalo-Gesellschaft, aber dennoch fanden sich da homophobe Positionen wieder, also so Lichtgestalten wie der Sänger der Bad Brains hat da offen bekannt, dass Homosexualität krankhaft sei, und es gab viele andere Bands, die sich auch viel mit Schimpfworten in ihren Songs da als homophob hervorgetan haben. Du blickst in deinem Film eben auch genau auf diese Zeit zurück. Was war das für eine Zeit und wie kam es dazu, dass Queers sich dann doch im Punk auch wiedergefunden haben oder den Punk einfach mit ihren Positionen auch besetzt haben?
I mean, in the beginning, the early movement of punk was very queer. And when I use the word queer, I don't necessarily mean homosexual. I mean transgressive. And transgressive as coming from a standpoint of sexual orientation. So when somebody doesn't have to have a family, get married, you know, wake up early for their kids to take them to school, doing all these things, they can kind of transgress time and structure and societal rules, and so how people have used their deviant sexualities to subvert other rules. So punk was about the same thing. It was about saying fuck you to society. So a lot of the early punks were very queer and were very gender fluid and were very queer. But then in the 80s, yeah, I think when hardcore became more of a white male suburban phenomenon, people like Bruce were frustrated. Like, why did he miss out on the original kind of definition of punk as a transgressive movement? So he tried to put them together again. So, you know, he did more punk than the hardcore kids were, who were actually not punk. They dressed in black. They all listened to the same kind of music. They were very conservative, and so he riled them up again, and with together with G.B. Jones, his best friend, began the queercore movement.
Yeah, you just mentioned G.B. Jones. G.B. Jones hat ja das Fanzine mit rausgebracht, J.D., und damit ging auch diese ganze Queercore oder auch Homocore-Bewegung so von Toronto aus und eigentlich von recht wenigen Menschen. So sieht man das auch in deinem Film, die von Toronto aus eben das Fanzine betrieben haben, selber Filme machten und auch in Bands spielten. Wie war es da möglich, so eine queere Aneignung des Punk zu erreichen von so einer kleinen Gruppe von Leuten von Toronto aus? Weil später entwickelte sich das ja dann noch auf eigentlich den ganzen nordamerikanischen Kontinent.
Yeah, this is the kind of most interesting part for me, is that they were able to do this movement as a joke, basically, from their bedrooms as teenagers before the internet, so people couldn't check the facts. So I think that's kind of the universal appeal of queercore, and it's kind of very interesting. So I think a lot of movements, if we look at historically, this is how they kind of have begun, just a few people believing in an idea and going for it. Even if you look in the last years, you know, in America, we have the Black Lives Matter or Occupy Wall Street or these kind of things. So it developed in the same way, where some young people were frustrated by some injustice that's going on, and they created their own movement. And with Bruce LaBruce and G.B. Jones, they made the small folded magazine, and they took straight punks and they got them drunk, and they put instruments in their hands, and they took photos, and then they wrote these elaborate stories of this amazing queer punk scene that existed in Toronto, and they made up band names, and they made, and then they spread this scene around, and people picked it up all around the world and believed this lie. And then slowly, bands started in New York and San Francisco and LA because they read the scene and they believed, like, hey, if it exists in Toronto, we can start it here. And then word got back to Toronto that the scene actually had come to exist around. But by that point, Bruce LaBruce and GB Jones were even over it, a bit too old and over it, and the scene moved on without them.
Du hast von einer Bewegung gesprochen, also von einem Queercore-Movement. Bewegung, das ist ja ein Begriff, der dann im Soziologischen also eine ziemliche Breite annimmt. Da stellt sich die Frage, inwiefern Queercore da tatsächlich eine Bewegung war im Punkrock oder aber ja vielmehr eine Szene oder für eine bestimmte Zeit ein Phänomen, das da war, aber das dann auch irgendwie so seinen Abschluss findet. Wie würdest denn du da auf diese Geschichte des Queercore blicken?
Yeah, I mean, as a musical genre, it's different than as a political kind of movement. It was a very important political movement, and I think, as I said in the film, you know, Riot Girl was the feminist movement within the punk scene, and queercore was the queer movement within the punk scene, but both were important to be way beyond the punk scene. So Riot Girl helped develop feminism. People call it the third wave of feminism. You know, we saw again a kind of similar eruption with Pussy Riot and things like that in recent years. And the same with queercore. So I think with gay culture, it became very boring and homogenized and conservative, and so much was lost. And queercore brought out the radical aspect of being queer again, rather than being LGBT or being a homosexual, about how one can use their sexuality as a political tool. And in that sense, I think it's still super relevant today. And that's why I also, what I wanted to kind of focus on in the film. But of course, there's still queercore bands and, you know, queer electro nights and queercore hacktivists and queer hip hop bands that were inspired by that. And so while the sound maybe has changed, the ideology is still very relevant.
Wenn du davon sprichst, dass Queercore eben radikale queere Aspekte ausmacht im Punkrock, kannst du da vielleicht nochmal erzählen, wie damals, als die Bewegung oder ne, also diese Szene so ihren Ausgangspunkt nahm in Toronto und dann eben in den USA, wie es sich verbreitet hat, wie Queercore daherkam? Also was waren da Beispiele für radikale queere Aspekte oder Bands im Punkrock?
Well, I think for me, a lot of the queercore wasn't necessarily only the bands, but it was also the zines. So it's about what was written in the zines and the films. And there's a lot of great films. And in my film, you see clips of the films and parts of the zines. But I think the most radical aspects can be found in the zines, which were the precursor to blog and social media. And it's about taking control of expression and not leaving it to the big newspapers and magazine publishers. But the bands were also quite radical. And, you know, radical bands. I mean, there was a band like Pansy Division who toured with Green Day at the height of their Green Day success in the early 90s, when people had never seen anything like that. You know, to be any kind of homosexual expression, I don't think had ever been seen in rock music. So they were touring with these huge stadiums of, you know, 30,000 people of Green Day fans, and they were singing for them about being fucked in the ass. And I, you know, it sounds today a little bit tame, like we kind of see it, but at the time it was quite radical, and all of these macho homophobic fans were subjected to it for 45 minutes before they saw their favorite band. So the bands were also quite radical too.
Du hast gerade ja Green Day und Pansy Division angesprochen, und das zeigt vielleicht auch einen Einfluss, den Queercore auch auf die etablierte Punk-Hardcore-Szene hatte, indem Green Day ganz bewusst ja Pansy Division auch als Vorband von sich auftreten lassen haben, auch in sozusagen einer Unterstützung dieser Position. Und vielleicht auch noch darüber hinaus geblickt, über jetzt Green Day und Pansy Division, welchen Einfluss nahmen denn Queercore auf eine Punk- und Hardcore-Szene?
I think that there wasn't much of one. I don't think the punk scene really cared about the queercore scene while they existed around the same time. because in that's in it, it paved its way for its own scene. So I think queercore changed gay culture, and I mean it did change the punk scene, but I don't think it changed punk music, I'll say. But even if we're talking about bands relevant today, queercore paved the way for bands like Gossip started as a queercore band, Knife, Peaches, and then it led the way to the, like, the queer hip-hop movement, like Mickey Blanco and Cakes de Killa and Leaf and Zebra Cats. And so I think a lot of bands were influenced. But I think as a musical genre, if we say punk and we mean a musical genre, I don't think the music was changed so much, but I think the politics were. So I think that punk became much more of a transgressive movement to include all people and not just the white middle-class heterosexual men that wanted to kind of take over in the 80s.
Und wenn wir jetzt beim Punk einmal bleiben, du hast dich in deiner Doku ja auf Nordamerika, also vor allem eben auf Toronto und die USA beschränkt, also vor allem darauf geblickt, dass von dort aus eben Queercore sich entwickelte. Wenn man nun aber eine Punkszene zum Beispiel nach Deutschland schaut, da gab es ja schon Ende der 70er Jahre mit den Cretins eine Band, die auch ganz offen besungen haben. Einen ganz bekannten Song von ihm war Samen im Darm, der da bekannt wurde auf dem No Fun Label oder No Fun Records erschien 1980. Die Band kam aus Hannover. Wie sieht denn das da vielleicht auch internationaler noch oder europäisch aus mit einer mit queeren Position im Punkrock? Warum hast du dich beschränkt auf den Blick nach Nordamerika?
Because, I mean, it's true, there was a big international scene, but because we wanted to focus on just homocore, queercore. So as far as queer in music and queer in punk, it was existing simultaneously around the world, including in Germany. And you had bands like Malaria with Gut und Gut and Bettina Costa and Wolfgang Müller and Die Todliche Doris. And you had Tunzenhaus in Berlin. And so you had a big German queer punk scene happening at the same time. And like Bruce LaBruce and G.B. Jones had visited and were in contact with Tunzenhaus in Berlin. And G.B. Jones actually stands for Gloria Berlin because she was so impressed by what was happening in the Berlin scene. And we did interview for the film, actually, these people. And there were some interesting stories, like Wolfgang Müller said the first a punk bar was actually a gay bar in Kreuzberg because they didn't have a punk bar yet, and the gay bar was the only bar that they wouldn't get beaten up for going in looking the way they looked. So yeah, the first punk bar was a gay bar. And he also said, you know, like, he talked about Andreas Bader being in the, like, the gay punk scene, like, secretly, and his male friend having sex with him. And he had a lot of great stories and anecdotes about the connection and the importance in Germany. But in the end, when you're making a film, you have to kind of take a focus somewhere. And we wanted to focus on queercore, which was a uniquely American Canadian perspective at the time. It did spread around, like you also had England, you had a lot of bands like Sister George, and which were queercore. But as a movement, things before the internet didn't connect to each other so well. Like today, you can go on tour, you can get a cheap ticket, you can spread your music through the internet. At that time, it wasn't like that. So bands didn't go, if they weren't superstars overseas, to go on tour in the United States, or American bands coming overseas here to tour, and then you hear their music within a minute. Remember, this is before the internet. So while these scenes were developing and they had each other's zines, queercore, homocore as a movement was pretty unique to the United States. It did spread to England, but at the same time, Germany had a gay punk scene going on, which we didn't talk about because this is it was a little bit too separate, but it would be like a separate film. But it was very important and very interesting for people to kind of look up and research.
Und du hast nun den Film gemacht, Queercore, How to Punk a Revolution, mit Blick auf Nordamerika und die Ausgänge von Toronto aus in ja weitere auch US-amerikanische Städte hinein. Was ist das, was du mit dem Film erzählen und vor allem uns auch zeigen willst, jetzt vielleicht abschließend?
Yeah, my point was to,
also to define the word queer for a lot of people, because I think that people have heard this word, and there hasn't really been a good definition, easy definition of it. So I kind of also wanted to define what the word queer means in terms of a political ideology in the film, and do it really funny. I wanted to make a look with all of my films to try to make them funny and fun to watch, and to have a lot of comedy in it. And I think Queercore was hilariously funny. So I think if people would be interested in kind of learning about queer and learning about the queer ideology, especially with a laugh, yeah, that's what the film's for.